Well, good morning again. It's a beautiful Sunday, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Come together with other believers, and we join together. Now, let's look at His Word. We want to see His Word, read His Word. We want to get His Word into us so that His Word leads us, directs us. It gives us, and also gives us accountability for ourselves as well. But today, we're going to look at Colossians 1. And I'm looking at this about the title or whatever we'd want to call it, and we'll find it as we get into Colossians, I believe, 1:18. But it's this: letting Christ have preeminence in your life. Do we really realize the importance of allowing Christ to have that preeminence in our life? To where that point is that it's everything in us to be in everything with Him. Because without Him, we're missing something, right? And without Him, we're not really serving Him to the fullness of what His Word is wanting us, or what God has planned for us. So let's look at that word preeminence. A definition would say simply greatness, superbness, supremacy. Quickly, I'm just going to turn there, and then eventually as we go through this, we'll get there with you. But it's in Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence, supremacy, the superbness. And that's a challenging word, I think, for us today, is it's not easy in our flesh to give someone else total priority in our lives. To give someone that superbness, that supremacy, that preeminence in my life personally. But yet His Word is telling us here that we need to do that in Colossians. When a person becomes a believer, he or she has moved from under Satan's authority to Christ. We would say that they have moved from one kingdom to another. Let me read in Colossians here. Just a little bit of the beginning in 1:9. And it talks about, "For this reason we also, since the day we've heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." We begin to read that and it's like being filled with His knowledge. You know, the world has a lot of knowledge, doesn't it? And it's good knowledge. There's knowledge out in the world that has benefited us tremendously with a lot of medical advances and the things in technology. And that's knowledge that comes out of the world's men and women as they have studied these things. And, of course, I think all knowledge and wisdom eventually comes from the Lord as He has placed things into people's thoughts. But they're doing a lot. But we do find some good knowledge. But we find that really the knowledge that we want is the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We want to understand these things. Wasn't there a thing out in, remember years back, and I guess it's still out there, but way back, it used to be a saying or a commercial tagline that said, "Inquiring minds want to know." And there was a paper that supposedly would tell you everything you wanted to know. And it was always full of all good news and everything was accurate. Generally not. The National Enquirer, you know, and I think it's still out there. But inquiring minds want to know. I think as Christians, we get to that point too. Yeah, an inquiring mind. My mind wants to know. And it talks about renewing our minds and transforming our minds and our thoughts and these things into that of what God has in the kingdom. But I think we all get to that point where I want to know. I want to understand these things. And it's saying this, that for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I pray that for you. I pray that for me, because it's important. It's vital. Going on in Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Who are we wanting to please today? We need to be pleasing God. We need to be looking at our ways, our actions, our places, and the things that we're doing in this life to bring honor and glory to Him. We want to be fruitful in our works so that He gets the glory We want to, again, increase our knowledge of Him. Do you realize that the more knowledge you have of someone, don't you get to know them better? As you've increased your knowledge with a spouse, as you've increased your knowledge maybe with friends around you, or increased your knowledge at your job and things, it's all been for what? Good. It's to develop and to learn and to understand. And then it goes on to say this, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all. Well, I don't want to. For what? Patience. And long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of... Do you realize you were delivered from what? The power of darkness when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You came out of darkness into light. And where there's light, light will dispel darkness. Darkness cannot be around light. Amen? Darkness cannot hide light, but light can dispel darkness. And that's what we've walked into as new creation, new people. We've been reborn again into a light that is everlasting. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. If we're walking with Christ, we need to be walking in love. There's some things in the Word of God that sometimes it just, you know, some of us can't handle or take sometimes. It's like, ooh, this love stuff all the time. We got to love, love, love. Forgive, forgive. Oh, you mean I got to forgive? Oh, my goodness, I got to forgive, forgive. All of these things are things and the fruits of the Spirit of where we can forgive these things and walk in love and walk in the love that Jesus had. As we continue to read in Colossians, it's describing the redemption that we have through Christ that brings us to a place of completeness. As we read through this first chapter of Colossians, there's a completeness. How many here like to be complete? I want to be completed in the works of God. I don't want just a little bit of it or just a part of it that'll just get me through. I want to be complete in the things of God in my life because I know a couple of things. Number one, if I'm complete in His works, that I will be satisfying my God, my Father in heaven. And I want to honor Him, and I want to bring glory to Him. Like Jesus says, I do these things to bring honor and glory to God, my Father, our Father. And I know if I'm doing these things as well, that, you know, as God's blessings and as He continues to help me go through these things, even on this life, there are some tough things that I've got to deal with. Now, I know you folks out there probably have had a pretty easy life. It's been pretty well like just a free little skate all the way through life. But I've had some issues. How about you? Yes, we all have. But I'm knowing that with my life sold out to Him, as I become more knowledgeable of Him, more complete in Him, and as He is complete into me, that I've got someone that's really going to help me get through these trying times that I'm going to experience here on earth. Christ brings us to a place of completeness. This place of completeness is that of spiritual adequacy, authority, or the ability to live victoriously, not just over, but above the invisible powers of darkness. And that's the thing to realize, that as we receive Christ, as we are in Him, as He has come into us and we've been complete, that He gives us that spiritual adequacy. Now, we get that spiritual adequacy because of having been filled with the Holy Spirit, being directed by the Holy Spirit, hearing of God and through God or about God into our lives, through the Holy Spirit in our lives, leading us, guiding us, talking to us, to warn us, to encourage us. When you've been down and going through a struggle, do you all of a sudden find yourself getting perked back up by maybe singing a praise or something, or thinking of a scripture or a psalm, or all of a sudden you just begin to praise the Lord and something within you begins to bubble? And I think it's that thing, the Holy Spirit in us begins to, you know, ignite us, and we begin to look past our problems. Look past your situation of today. The God of this world wants you to focus on the thing that's right in front of you right now. Or He might tell you to focus on that possibility that might be coming 6 months from now, Or he might say, you know what? What about the past, you scoundrel? Look at the past. That's the God of this world wants you focused either behind you, right in front of you, or somewhere in the future. God's word says, just concern yourself for what day? The current day you're in. Just make it through this day, and then you'll have a tomorrow. And the thing that I can walk that out knowing is the past is the past. Why worry about it? The future is there, but God is going to be there with me, and he's going to get me to that place. What I concern myself with is just today, Lord, how am I doing today? What am I doing honoring you? What am I doing to fulfill the call on my life? What are you doing? Do you ever get to that point of God and saying, am I fulfilling the call on my life today? Am I hearing from you? Am I responding to you? Am I honoring you? Christ brings us into the completeness of where we need to be. Prior to that of Christ and us receiving him as our Lord and Savior, we were separated from God, weren't we? There was a separation. There was a divide between us and God the Father, our Creator, because of sin and the things that have happened in the garden. But, you know, that the garden happened a long time ago. But I tell you what, there's still sin happening today. And we're born into that. We're born estranged from God because of what had transpired back in the garden. But God has made a way to bring us back to him because he loves us. And he would desire that none should perish. And so he sends his one and only Son, really God in the flesh, to come down to make this for us, to make us complete, to give us that ability to be reborn again, to ignite our spirit to where it was become connected in to the things of our Heavenly Father. So we have that spiritual adequacy. We have that authority. How many people do you know in the church, they don't act upon the authority that they have? They go along life getting bumped to and fro, just moving with the, you know, they're just going with the flow of things, and life is, you know, the world calls it hard knocks. You know, you learn by your hard knocks. Well, you do, but then you learn to pick yourself up and go on. And hard knocks, whatever they may be, is a learning tool that we learn and helps us develop. But I'm going to tell you that we have this ability to go through this, and we have authority. We have the spiritual adequacy of the Spirit of God to lead us and to direct us and to warn us and to encourage us and to protect us and to speak to us about the things of God's Word. It gives us that ability to live victoriously. Are you living victoriously? And I think there's a lot more to living victoriously than just, you know, having a big house and two cars and, you know, walking in health and all that type of stuff. Are you walking in victory? You know, there's some things that we all have some issues within our physical body. I have some issues. I'm sure you've got issues in your physical body, don't you? But I am still walking victoriously because of where I'm at with Christ and where Christ is at in my life. And I realize that, okay, I'm in an area and a realm of a place that there are situations. There is sicknesses and diseases, and there's things that come upon us, and there's so many viruses and so many infections out there. Who would have thought, you know, in some of these instances, you walk on a beach down in Florida or Texas or Louisiana, whatever, along the East Coast, but a beach, and you got a cut on your foot, and you walk through the sand, and all of a sudden you end up developing this like a staff type thing that starts eating away your skin, and it's like, holy mackerel, what is going on here? I mean, this world is full of germs, diseases, things that want to take you out. But as a child of God, we can come against those things and have authority over those things. And you know what? If the thing of this world takes me out, I've got a much better place that I'm going to anyway in heaven, correct? And I don't have a death wish, and I don't want to die right now. I want to live, to give honor and glory to God and help and preach his word and to read his scriptures and try to bring it on a Sunday morning or meet with somebody during the week and try to be an encourager to say, yes, you're going through a hard time, and I'm probably not ever experienced the hard time you're going through, but God will help you through that. Trust him. Give it a try. I've heard of stories where people say, tell you what, just receive him and ask him to come in and make your life better and give it like, I don't know, was it 3 weeks or 2 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever it is. I can't remember what it is, what this story was talking about. And if it's not turned around, then come back and see me. And chances are, it's like they usually come back saying, it's gotten better. Now, the enemy will come. The enemy will try to destroy. The enemy will take away God's word out of your heart and all these things. But that's where you come with authority. That's where you come with a spiritual understanding. That's where you come with the thought that, okay, if God is for me, the devil wants to kill me, you know, and however he wants to do it. It just seems like in this day and age, we've had so many things that have developed serious things of health. It's like, what in the world is going on? But we've got to be cautious, and we've got to be alert, and we've got to be receptive of these things, and don't run scared to and fro, but just call on who you know is your strength, who is your Redeemer, who is your God, and he will help us through these things. In verses 14 to 16, let's see, what does it say in here? I got a note here. 14 to 16, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Your sins have been forgiven. The enemy will want to come and tell you, your sins have not been forgiven, you scoundrel. Can you, all of those things you did back in whatever, how many years ago, those were sins. Yes, but my sins have been forgiven because we just had communion. Remember, the blood cleanses us as white as snow. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of what? Sins. He is the image of the invisible God. Who's the image? Jesus, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Now this is, we're not even getting in there yet, but this is talking about the preeminence of Christ. Okay? For by him, and we'll look at this as we dig into it a little bit further, but look what it's telling us. That were created in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So the creation is created by who? God. Well, if that's the case, why is there so many things disarrayed in creation and all? Because the devil gets in there and he likes to cause some havoc. He likes to create some dissensions. He creates some of these things in there. But the only thing that I know that the devil can create is just hindrances and just frustrations, because he gets in and he just meddles with the good. Because doesn't God's word say what the devil meant for good, or what the devil meant for bad, God will turn it for the good? So no matter what God has created, the devil gets in the midst of it and he tries to cause disorganization within it. And then we see a disorganized situation and we think, that's my life, that's what I'm going through, that's my health, that's my finance, that's my family, whatever the case is. And it's going down, down, down. The devil's enjoying seeing what he's destroying in my life through health, finance, family, situations, whatever the case is. But then I've got to believe and trust, because I serve a God that's bigger than that. I serve the God that created everything, that he's going to take that same miry mess and he's going to turn it around for what? Good. He's going to bring me through it. And I'm going to look back and say, well, devil, you tried to destroy me back then. You tried to create confusion. You tried to create within me a dissension that I didn't want to walk with God anymore. But I'm going to tell you, devil, all you did was you just drove me closer to the throne of God, to the throne of grace. Because that's where I want to go. I don't want to go anywhere near where you're at. So anything that you put upon me, I'm just going to keep walking closer to my God. Because the devil wants to kill, steal, destroy anything and everything you've got. And everything that we've got is what? God is my provider, my protector. And so the devil is out there to create a lot of havoc within us. But let Christ have preeminence, the greatness, the supremacy in your life. Let him call the shots. Let him have you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Let him be totally Lord of your life. In verses 10 to 12, I'm going to back up here a little bit. 10 and 12, it says that you, we've already talked about this, but let's review this. 10 and 12, 10 to 12, Colossians 1, 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You will increase in the knowledge of God if you just give it a chance. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Strengthened, to make strong, to confirm, to enable. The knowledge of God who will strengthen you, he will enable you, he will confirm. There is a a family of duna power words. Dunama, to be able. Dunamis, the power, usually supernatural. What is this one here? Dumeno, to strengthen. I mean, there's a lot within the gods in the Greek and talking about strength within a person. So we've got that, and we talk about the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, dynamite, you know. So he's telling you, strengthen with all might. He strengthen you. God will strengthen you with all might according to his glorious power. There is no other power out there that is stronger than whose? God. So verses 10 to 12, walk worthy of the Lord. This describes a radical commitment of will, affection, and the disposition to what? Please Christ. Who do you want to please today? Oh, I want to please this person. I want to please my boss. I want to please that one. I need to please them. I need to do this. I want to be pleasing. I want people to love me and like me. So to do that in the natural, I gotta please them and wait on them and do the things that I think they will like so that they begin to like me and I want to please them. No. We want to please Christ. You will have fruitfulness growth in godly knowledge, divine empowerment, and thankfulness to the Father who has qualified us for such a walk. You will be rewarded for these things as we are pleasing Christ, as we are giving Christ preeminence in our life, preeminence in everything we do. What comes first in the life? My relationship with Christ. Isn't that the thing that they talk about as far as, you know, how do we come down the chain of command, you know? It's the point of where God is first, my family. If we're married, I would say God, my spouse, my kids, my job. You got to be careful. Many times we end up where we put the kids above our spouse, and boy, I tell you what, when that happens, your family order is disordered. And so we've got to keep those importances. We got to keep our chain of command, the food chain. We got to keep that right, man. First of all, I do want to honor God the Father. Because if I don't honor him, I'm telling you, everything below that just goes, things will come in, destruction, frustration, disarray. But I want to keep him first. Then I've got to put my spouse and honor that person. And then I want to honor those kids that he's blessed us with. And I would say this, probably at this point now, it's almost like after my kids, then I go to my grandkids. And then everybody else. Then I'll have time for you guys, okay? I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is, you know? My wife, my kids, my grandkids, and then if I got time, I'll give you a minute. No, not really. But I think if we look at things in order of how we should maintain our life, we'll see that structure. Now you're saying, well, Tim, so you kept that order. You started keeping that order maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago. So I'm sure everything's been easy in your family. Everything has been just perfect. I would say, no, it's not been perfect. We've had our struggles. We've had our issues. We've had, because life. Because I'm sorry to say, as you are, as I am, we're living in this world that is kind of controlled or kind of manipulated, maybe more so, manipulated by that of the devil. How he just wants to be just that burrow in your, that burra in your saddle. Oh, that burrow, like that little burrow. You're sitting on the burrow. With a burr in the saddle of the burrow. So, if a burrow is under you, well, it would be under you because you'd be riding the burrow. But we're talking about the burr. Boy, go down south and get them burrs in you, man. Them things are like, I guess that's how they develop Velcro or something like that. I don't know. But I know down south when I was growing up and down in that area, Missouri and Illinois and all that, you go through fields and stuff, you'd come out, your pants, your socks, you'd have those things stuck to you. And, You'll get them up here every once in a while, but not like down there. But the devil wants to put that burr under you so that it's not pleasing. It's agitation, you know. Have you ever had, like, you buy a shirt or something, or a piece of clothing, especially like a shirt or something like that, and you think you got all the tags out and all that, and you're wearing it, and all of a sudden there's just something itching you in the back on your shoulder here or something, or maybe along your side here, and you're just like, what in the world is that? That's kind of like what the devil likes to do in our walk, you know. It's not really evident per se, but you keep it on long enough and that thing acts up a little bit and all of a sudden it's like, man, there's still something there. I found some of those things even recently. After I've worn them, washed them, and folded them, then all of a sudden I get them back out and I go, well, You know, they put these little plastic things everywhere, these little Swift taggers. Oh, my goodness. I think they do it on purpose. All these little tags with things. But it's something like that. It's where I wore it all day, and I just kept always going, man, there's something in this thing. You know, and I scratch it. You think it's like a little bee in there or something like just like bothering you, like a little sweat bee. It wasn't until I took it off and examined it, and I go, oh, my goodness, is that little plastic tie still in there? Didn't have anything on it, but it was still there. The devil likes to do that on our lives. He's not going to really come in and maybe create a massive havoc in your life, but I think he likes to just to be that little, I think Paul said like the thorn of the flesh, you know, those type things. It's just that thorn just kind of gets in there. Think of anything in your life physically that starts to aggravate you just enough that all of a sudden you realize that all of a sudden it's aggravating me more. And how did that happen? I mean, I tell you what, if we had a lot more time, I could go into all kinds of my physical things that, you know, it starts hurting and I don't know anything about it until finally it's to the point where I'm going like this, like, oh my goodness, that hurts. What's going on? It's like, until you actually do something about it to get rid of it, you still walk with it until you've had enough. And then when you've had enough, you go, I've got to check out and see what this is. And then you do the remedies, you take care of it. I tell you what, when I took care of that on my foot and I was able to walk, it was like I was walking like I felt like I was a baby, man. I could walk with no discomfort, no pain, no nothing, you know. But it's only when you get enough of it or you're tired of it and you say, I'm going to put a stop to it. We've got to do that with the things that the devil does in our life. He likes to keep these little things just throwing at you, those little darts, that little thorn, this or that. And sometimes we just keep going with it and going with it, and we shoo him off a little bit, and then he comes back. We don't take that authority. We don't take what we have been given because of we keep Christ as preeminence in my life. Christ is supreme in my life, and if I'm a child of God and I'm going through this life, I know that he's going to be there to help me and to help me get through this thing. And he's not wanting me to go through here constantly suffering and constantly being tormented by the things of this devil on this earth, because I've got to realize from what God's word says, you're allowing somebody to affect you that's defeated. Why are you doing that, Tim? And if you would be closer to me in my word, if you would take time to meditate, take time to pray with me, take time to listen to me, take time in my word, allow me to tell you, teach you, show you that these things will come, but I am here to give you life and to give it more abundantly. Don't give in. Don't cave in. Don't turn, you know, don't turn from me. A lot of us will start turning from God because we get focused on the problem. Once we get turned from God, focusing on the problem, then the devil has won. I want to keep my focus on God at all times. How about you? Amen? Well, we're going to wrap up here just shortly because that brings us all in to where I want to share on the preeminence of Christ and the preeminence within life and what this is all about. And so next week we will pick back up and we'll dig into it more, and we're going to look at it in the areas of creation, preeminence, superb, supremacy in creation, in reconciliation, in wisdom and knowledge, personal observations, and regarding our Christian living. All of these things that if we allow it, that Christ has preeminence in those areas and where we're going to find it. And really, it's all going to be right here through Colossians. We'll probably get as far as maybe Colossians 3, thereabouts, and some of the scriptures that we'll go to. But a lot of it is in Colossians 1 and 2. But I do want to take this time to look at this, because as I began to look at this more and more this week and then thinking about these things, and it's like preeminence, the preeminence of Christ. I need more of that. I need to reflect on these things. I, if nothing else, I need it for myself. And so we will kind of pick up next week on those areas. And we'll start with creation, the supremacy, the greatness of Christ that was back then, because remember, Christ was God in the flesh. So we go back to where this all begins in creation, and we've talked about those things in the past as well. So come back next week. And some of those that come next week that weren't here this week, I think they'll still get the benefits of it, because each one of these areas talks about the preeminence over all things.